present, and your word is real. I pray, Father, that today we surrender our burdens before your altar. And we surrender, Lord, that your blood will not only cover us, but will break every chain that we have in our mind and our body. Any burden that we brought onto this place, now that it's holy, is broken in the name of Jesus. And Father, we surrender our thoughts and our mind, our spirit, for you to speak unto us that your word is true. Your word, let it be a seed rooted in our spirit that will bear fruit for many years to come. So we ask, Holy Spirit, speak, for we are listening. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we give you glory and honor for being who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. We got a hand clap to the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Ezra. Thank you, Annabelle. Hallelujah. My honor to Pastor Todd today in this precious, beautiful night, and all the ministers are here. What a beautiful Thursday the Lord has given us. Amen. You know, one of the things that I do want to begin in is within the scripture of this house, and it's Isaiah chapter 50, verses 4 and 5, and it states, "And the Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away." We thank you, Lord. When you read the scripture and we find one of the things that the Lord tells us is of the learned. And that the learned is someone that not only has received instruction, but knows how also how to apply it. That's what makes us learn. You come to settings of this. Churches that will teach you, equip you, edify you. But how you become learned is what you take from the word of God. You take it in the spirit and then you practice it outside the door. When you put it in as a, because everything in this word is practical. It's usable for our daily living. And why is it that the Lord would tell us to be learned? Why is it that today many of us are in sin of asking, Lord, we want to learn more and teaching more books today are sold that begin with how to. There's a desire of wanting to know what to do, but also what not to do. And the scriptures is a manual blueprint, especially as Jesus teaches us, because he tells us, go as a commission. Go out and make disciples. And he tells us this by, be my witness. Now, the deal is that in scripture, how is that you and I can be a witness, especially out there to those that are surrounding, those of us who work in these different sectors that is circular, that do not know the word of God, do not know the Holy Spirit. So we have to learn how to be a witness in it. The Bible tells us in Acts 1:8, it tells us, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." We know this. Because one of the scriptures that tells us is that power, but that power is not to just exercise the gifting inside of us, is to be a witness of Jesus Christ. So when we understand what is a witness, well, a witness is someone that has the knowledge, a learned, that has a change, a personal obligation. Because now you're a witness of something that not only you know of, but you also experience. I'm a witness of Jesus, not only because I know in his word that he's saved, but I'm saved. See, I'm a witness because I know who I was. I know that I wouldn't even wash myself, but the blood of Jesus washed me clean. So when you, I not only have the experience of knowing what is a witness, but now you also are the obligation to experience it. But there is a difference. There's a difference of being a witness in the Holy Spirit and evangelizing and the Holy Spirit. This evangelizing is sharing the gospel. You go and you strategically carry the scripture to that person and you share it. You could share it as in a story, a personal testimony, as we heard, powerful. That is, as you're sharing the gospel. But a witness is being the gospel to somebody who does not know the gospel. How is that? Well, I was in a waiting room when my previous, in my job in Miami, and my boss came in. And when my boss came in, all of a sudden, he started to scream at me because of something that happened in our department. Started yelling at me. And I stayed quiet. Because the person that did the wrong was not me. Was actually sitting on the table looking at me, telling me, don't tell them it was me. Now, I could have simply grabbed them and threw them under the bus and back it up. But I chose not to do that. And took the blame. Afterwards, she told me, actually, why would you do that? I will share it because I know what it is to be screamed at when I did something wrong. You see, I tried to share the grace, undeserved mercy, by not telling what's grace, but becoming grace to somebody in need. That is a witness. So today, when we talk about being and learn how to be a witness, is not only also sharing and being, but also hearing and listening. Because being a witness not only is always talking about the gospel, it's also listening what to say about the gospel. And being a witness, we must learn how to be an effective listener. The Bible tells us that many times all of us, we are in scriptures, James 1:19 tells us, everyone should be quick to hear, but slow to speak. That's something that many of us sometimes have a problem. And one is that in scriptures, a good listener is not only one person that releases that. And the Bible gives us illustration of why is it that we have to be good listeners. Why is it that you and I have to learn how to listen when somebody, the Lord gives us an opportunity to plant a seed of the word? Why is it that we only have one mouth and 2 ears? Why is it that the Lord tells us, be slow to speak? Especially if you are a veteran. If you're a veteran Christian, sometimes for us, it becomes difficult because, well, we got the scriptures and we need to tell somebody. At the same time, somebody comes up to us and sometimes we look at it as solely as an object to us to speak. Great, the Lord brought you for me to preach to you. And sometimes we know that that's not it. Because sometimes some people don't want you to say anything. They just want you to be present. But when is the time to speak? It's when you know when to speak. Discernment is not only identifying the spirit behind the problem. It's also being quiet to discern what is the problem and how to address it. We know in scriptures about being this and how can we apply it as it. You know, people say, well, you know, I do my best to be a witness to Jesus. But you understand that Jesus spoke very little. When he spoke, he meant. That means that there was carried in his weight of the word. Those that speak a lot, many people have to decipher and go through until they find the gold nugget. But if you only could give the nugget, they don't have to go through a lot because it's already given. Sometimes the nugget doesn't have to be through a hay of things. It could be just simply handed. But to do that, the Holy Spirit, as we listen, we also have to listen to others. And how can we practice this? Well, we practice this using the golden rule. The Bible tells us in Matthew 7:12 tells us, so in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. That is the golden rule. How many of us here sometimes in a moment of crisis just want somebody to listen to you? Even men that do not want to say, I don't want to share my feelings, every man says, hey, I want to share my feelings. Every man has a way to express. We might not say it that way, but every person, for man, veteran or all, would like somebody to listen to something that we might going through. So today we're going to see how is it that we could develop this listening skill, because it is a skill. You're not just born a great listener. I know that because many of us, including myself, I had to learn how to listen. See, when growing up, it affected me in many different times because my mother was a nagger. See, my father was an alcoholic, so each time that he came back home, he wouldn't listen to my mom for a day. So he just went straight to the drink and gone. And I was just the person coming in as a victim. And she saw me and she just went to express herself and, well, there you go, lay it out on me, mama. And she just went through a lot of things and complaints. And it became to a point that now, even when I got married to Mercy, my wife, when she just expressed her feelings, I thought that she was nagging. And I had to learn, well, my wife is not a nagger. Why is it that I think that she is? Why is it? It's because I had to sharpen my listening. And that is a skill. So with the Holy Spirit, I started going through a journey how I could be an effective listener to be a witness to that person in need. The first thing we need to talk about is to be calm in a state, calm and relaxed. This is important as a believer. You know, we are firing the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you know that as a believer, we take the training of self-control. That is a fruit. You look at it, and it is an attribute of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's self-control. And self-control is to learn how to be relaxed and calm. Sometimes when you're in a situation, somebody comes up to you, and they're low, man, and they're crying, and they're because you go to place and be in position, if you ask the Holy Spirit, use me, he's going to use you. And how he's going to use you is that sometimes he's going to tell that person that's going through a problem, hey, go to that person. Just like my sister went to somebody to get prayed for. And all of a sudden, they will lay out some things. We have to be calm in a situation where somebody's about to be witnessed. Why? Because you cannot enter into the person's stress or problem. It's very easy to be entangled. The Bible tells us that one of the soil of the sword they encountered is that they got wrapped up with the actual cares of life. The one that got choked by the thorns. People are not getting cares of life. But for us, we have to be calm and relaxed. This is by listening to somebody sharing something to you that might be a little bit overwhelming. Something that is scary. Something that, listen, something's happening to me. Or I'm losing a child. Or I'm sick to a point of cancer. All of a sudden, all your emotions. And you have to stay calm because the Spirit of God is about to speak through you. But to do that, you have to listen. What exactly is it that that person is going? You cannot get mixed by their emotion. So how you do that? You have to be mentally present there, not only physically. Mentally, you have to relax and be mentally there. The Bible tells us that discernment, as we look at into yourself, you have to give full attention to that person. So you have to relax and listen. And some people, we must know, that might talk to you, they do not know how to communicate. See, schools does not teach us how to communicate. So many people, they just talk until they find what they want to say. Some people don't know how to ask questions. So they keep talking until the question comes along. So you have to be calm and not be impatient, right? You find yourself sometimes, I was impatient. I was like this, and I started moving. I said, and then I want to jump in and help. So you mean this? No, okay. What about that? No. And then little by little, I found myself impatient because the person didn't know what question to ask. So you have to be calm and let them until you find what is it that they want to say. Because this is part. Are we in equipping? That's part of our equipping, is equipping our ears. Be present. Why? Because it's very easy to leave. Some of you just left. Come back. Listen. Because it's part of it. I know this because I remember in the beginning when my wife, she would talk to me. And I got, because of my upbringing with my mother, it was very easy for me to look at my mother's eyes while she talks. And I could be completely somewhere else. I know this because I was watching one of the races and my wife starts talking to me about something. I'm looking at her and all of a sudden there was an accident and somebody crashed. She goes, oh no! And I start looking right in the eyes of my wife. Why is it? Because in our minds, we could leave quickly. So we have to be present. No, why is this person telling me this? You have to remember that these are the persons that probably have answers that they're looking for, and you have them from the Word of God. We have the scriptures. We have. But you know that there are specific scriptures for a specific need. You cannot just start taking like a shotgun and just shoot all scriptures until one of them hits. We cannot do that. as a witness, we listen and then know, you know what? The scriptures comes and tells us. We have to look and listen to what the Lord is telling us what to do. The second thing that we have to look at it is assumptions. Assumptions is very, because we cannot assume that the person and themselves are always talking about the same thing. We always know that, right? You know, you got a friend called Martha, and Martha keeps, hopefully there's no Martha here, but you know, and she keeps on calling you for the same thing, right? And then all of a sudden they start calling for the same thing and the same thing. And what happens? We get caught up to thinking that Martha now is going to call you for the same thing. So you have prepared already answers. How do you know if you have prepared answers? Have you ever had a conversation with somebody and instead of listening, finish listening to what they're saying, you already have an answer for the first statement that they say? And you think about it. And all of a sudden, you're building this little conversation in your mind that's completely different because they're not there. I know this because there was many times that I've caught myself that when people start talking, I'm building this answer in my mind because I'm not listening to be a witness. And they say, so what do you think about that? But I wasn't thinking about that. I'm thinking about something completely different. And I realized that the answer that I placed myself in my mind because I wasn't listening as a witness, it does not relate to that. So what do you do? Well, you have to do what everybody else does. Well, how do you make me feel? Right? You start saying, "What does that? How does that make you feel?" And then all of a sudden you start backtracking to figure out what is it that they said because you already lost. So do not assume. Be open-minded. Tell yourself that you are in a new conversation. Why? Because old advice does not solve new problems. You could have many advices, but it does not mean it will solve new problems. So you have to be a witness and listen. And not assume that what you have could solve. The only way you could do it is by listening. I remember one time as well, I was ministering. Somebody come up to me and they wanted prayer. But because they came up with prayer with an actual cane, I thought, well, they need healing. He goes, oh, I would like prayer. X. I said, okay, well, praise God. So I started praying in the name of Jesus. I finished praying, healing, you know, doing the whole thing, you know, with my wife. And after we were done, praise the Lord, do something you couldn't do before. I go, well, that's not what I came for prayer for. You know, for 5 minutes, I prayed for that woman's leg. And it wasn't even that she wanted. She wanted prayer because her husband was sick. You see, sometimes we assume very quickly. And we as veterans, as those in the Word, we have to be very careful not having assumption. Because if we do, all of a sudden we skip from listening to being just completely active on something that has nothing to do with it. So we have to be an open mind. The third thing that we have to look in. The third thing is to be quiet. Be quiet. Talking is the opposite of listening. You see, one thing about Mark Twain said a quote, and Mark Twain said this, wisdom is the reward you get for a lifetime of listening when you would have rather have talked. You know, we have to look at it. Conversations always comes and it will go. People say, yeah, it's two-way. Yeah, conversation is two-way. But for the witness, it becomes one because you're putting that person ahead of you. You're putting that person in front. Why is it that you like to talk? Why is it that that person wants to tell you that? Some would just want to vent to you, and you have to be careful of that. But there's some of them that do not want to vent to you. They come to you because they believe that you have the answer for their solution. Many of them believe that the Holy Spirit will use you. Some of you who operate in the gift of the word of knowledge. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will give you that unto that person. But you have to listen and say, well, this is what the Lord sees, and you can't. No, you have to be quiet, let them finish. Being that it's not being impolite of it, but being present to that. Why? Because one of the things about being quiet is that you place that person ahead. You give them respect and honor. So how do you do that? Well, one of the things is that you do is that you do not finish their sentences. You know, sometimes we got and we're listening. Oh, because of that. People have a tendency to try to finish your sentences. Don't do that. You know how that feels. So don't do it to somebody else. To be somebody that are in need, somebody that is grieving for something, sometimes they just want to tell you what is in the heart. Don't tell them what is in the heart. Let them tell you what's in the heart. Because once they do that, they all of a sudden, they voluntarily give you an emotional standing that you could utilize to minister right there because they gave it to you. But don't put it in. Let them give it to you. Don't finish what you have in the heart. Let them. So by doing that, let them finish. At the same time, there's a trick that I learned. And I had to learn it by biting my tongue. And this is called the 3-second rule. And the 3-second rule is that when somebody is talking to you and they stop, it doesn't mean that it's your turn. Sometimes they're trying to get back into finishing the conversation. Maybe they're changing another sentence, or maybe they just want to regroup of something because somebody literally listened to them. So what I had to do is I had to wait 3 seconds. Somebody was telling me an issue, a problem, and I'm listening to them, and I'm trying to be present, right? I'm not in India preaching in my mind. You know, I'm there listening to you. And all of a sudden, when they finish talking, 3 seconds. Now, the human might not like silence. A lot of people do not like silence. Some people even sleep with noise because they do not like silence. But as a witness, allow silence to be welcomed. Because not everything in power, the God power. See, the word of God doesn't need to be loud to be powerful. It just needs to be present. And when somebody knows that you're present and his anointing is there, when they're sharing and you silent and they know it, the Spirit of God then will give you a word for them. But if you speak, how will you listen? So welcome that 3 seconds. Hold your tongue if you need to. 3 seconds might not seem a lot, but it is when it comes to a conversation. Another thing is that we have to believe that by talking, we also leading. See, you have to keep the questions in simple. So though if you are listening to somebody and you're being a witness, you could practice this in every scenario within evangelism. I was talking to a bishop this morning, and we're setting up a crusade in 4 states inside of India in 2027. It will take 21 days as we get there. So as I was talking to him, he was excited. We were talking, and he started going everywhere, telling me, it was this, and we're going to do this. And he started giving me even the airlines I'm going to fly. This is in 2027. So I had to bring it back with a simple question. Give me the dates. First of all, I need to know if I'm going to make it. Give me the dates. Because he was so excited. There's a lot of people that will come up to you with the problems, but also with excitement, and they'll give you everything. So you narrow it down with a question. Question. And the question must be simple. What is it? Somebody comes up, maybe people come up to you and says, I'm having a lot of problems. And, you know, and maybe there was one person who came up to me telling me they were having a lot of problems in their life. There was pain, problem. So I asked a question. It goes, when does it begin? And they said, well, this started in my mother's womb. That's a long story. So we don't have time to hear since the mother's womb until now they're grown up with grandchildren. So I had to bring it back again. Okay, well, let me rephrase that question. What is the problem right now? See, you don't have to take it back. Why? Because listening is also exhausting. A lot of people will exhaust you. And a lot of people will drain you because they're drainers. We don't want to say that a lot of people are doing that, but they are. Some people don't want your advice. They just want your ear. Let them earn your ear. Just because we're Christians doesn't mean they have to walk on us, vomit all their problems and drama, and then walk away. Just because we're Christians, we're nobody's doormat. They have to earn our ears. So how you do that is that you have to honor your time. Listen, I'll give you the time. I'll listen. But ask the questions to bring them all together. Another thing about this, when you see the scriptures, is to find that not everybody in that moment is a fourth pillar that I'd like to share with you today, and that is the bigger fish syndrome. This is when your story will overlap their story. This one is that we will have to always see an issue as a witness. As a witness, they're bringing the things to you. Now, what is a bigger fish syndrome? Well, that happened to me when I went fishing for the first time. I remember I went fishing, and I've never gone boat fishing before. So you could just imagine. I'm there with a slingshot, with an arrow and all that, and I'm having a great time, and I catch my first fish with a, took a picture and a selfie and everything, holding that fish with an arrow. It was the most glorious time. But after that, I couldn't catch another one. I only caught one, small one, but I caught him. Oh, it was the biggest story for me. I got back to land and was sharing, and as I gathered together with friends and I'm telling him about my story, well, guess what he does? He tells me about his bigger fish. He says, oh yeah? Oh, well, you know what? I did that same thing last week, you know, and not only I caught one, I caught 4X, you know, and four, and they were bigger than the ones that you caught, you know, and it was, I think I caught 2 fish with 1 bowl, you know, and all of a sudden, their fish story was bigger than mine. And maybe it was true, but I didn't ask him. He asked me, how did my fishing go? When people come up to you with their story, remember, it's their story. They didn't ask about your story. Even though you might, if somebody tells you, hey, I prayed for somebody and they got healed, don't tell them that somebody else got healed yesterday when you lay hands on them. They didn't ask you if you heal somebody in Jesus' name. So what you do, you celebrate them. You listen. Celebrate their fish, even though yours might be bigger. Always sell, being a witness, let that person and celebrate with that person. Do not go and tell your bigger fish story. So we have to see how this intends. Be interested about that person. How do you do that? You have to have common ground in it. You give them the respect that they need and celebrate them. Another way of celebrating them without that bigger fish is the time that they're. When somebody tells you, you want to be a witness, the person will know how you made them feel by the intention that you gave them. That's why they're sharing the story. Do you know what happened? When I went and I caught 22 fish with just 22 fish. And do you know who I did not tell? Because he would tell me he got 48 fish. So I kept my 22 fish story to another friend and to myself. Do not let, you know why? Because if they come to you, it's for a purpose. It's for a reason. So always have that door open and the table for them to sit down and you minister. You don't need to change the world with 2,000 people. Sometimes the person that the Lord's giving you to witness, by you telling and allowing to give you that fish story, could be the next Ron Humbunke, could be the next Billy Graham, could be the next man of God, woman of God, that would change his whole entire world just because you allow them to sit in a table and listen to them. To do that, we also know that you give them the attention. How you do that? Do not put your phone on the table. Put the phone away, silent it. Silent your phone. If you're going to give somebody to be that witness, silent your phone. There's no need. If you're in a meeting or in a conversation, enjoy the time. So what do? Don't put it in vibe and put it in your pocket. You know why? Because when somebody texts you, you're going to feel it. And the whole time they're talking to you, right, you're thinking what? I wonder who it is. Who's texting me? And you start thinking, what if? What if it's my wife? What if it's my husband? What if it's my kid? What if my wife's telling me something important, like, what do you want for dinner? And the whole time, you're trying to figure out who texted you while the person is talking. So you silent it or shut it off and put it away. When you do that, the person knows that you're giving them attention, because all of us have been in a situation, as I call Ezra to the front. We are caught in a situation that we are caught at the things. And what happens to it? We look at it, and that person picks it up and starts texting back, and you're still talking. How do you feel? You feel disrespected. You feel dishonored. You say, hey, we're having a conversation. Why is it that you're putting somebody else's attention? You see, I'm a person that I cannot multitask. I could only do one thing at a time. So if I'm texting and somebody calls or somebody's talking to me, I could tell them, listen, just let me finish because I'm in my train of thought. So let me finish this. Why? Because if I'm going, I know that I'm not listening to that person. So being a witness is more than just prophesying, giving words of knowledge, preaching, evangelizing, saving. Being a witness, because we have to make disciples. And when we make disciples, it's going to be important that they know that there's somebody that they could trust for you to continue giving them the word of God. So being witness, we need also our ears, not only our mouth. Because when we allow the Holy Spirit to speak through us, and all of a sudden there might be a silence in that moment, you could communicate with that person and the Holy Spirit will speak into you. And then you could speak into them. Like one time I was under a tent and we were ministering the gospel. And some lady came up to the front and I could see that she was broken. And I asked her the question, how can I pray for you? But she did not answer. She was, you could see that she was grieved. So I lay my hands on her and I just began to pray in tongues, asking the Holy Spirit. But then I stepped back and I said, how can I pray for you? And I hold. I didn't just start. I waited. And in those 3 seconds, the Lord gave me a word of knowledge. I saw a little boy. He was playing in the backyard and the little boy tripped and fell in a river. And the river took him. So I'm looking, and I'm not understanding what I'm seeing, but I know what I saw. Because in the silence of me not talking, he spoke, and the word came. Then I shared it. Ma'am, this is what I see. I see a little boy playing in the backyard, and he trips and fell in the water, and the river takes him. And the mother, that lady began to cry and scream, and she fell on her knees. When she did that, I could see in the back, some people came up, seen family members, and they ran to the front. And she goes, what did you do to my mom? It was a grandma. And then she stopped them. And she says, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And she grabs my shirt, and she starts to cry on my shoulder. And she says, for 2 weeks, my grandson was playing and he went missing. And I thought somebody kidnapped my grandson. The police have not been able to find my grandson. And the only thing I could think of is somebody's abusing my child, taking advantage of my little one because it was my fault. But I also have a river behind my house. Maybe she just needed clarity that the child did drown instead of being in the hands of some pervert or somebody who's abusing the child. But she just needed clarity. In that moment, I had to be a witness and make sure that I just said it just because. I could preach just because. I had to listen. And when I did, the Lord gave for the person to be expressed and direct. So as before I call Pastor Todd to the front, I am going to pray. This is a skill that was difficult for me, because it was. Listening was not my trait, was not my strength. I grew up, as I said, with a mother that nagged, so it cluttered my ears. Noise and everything was an assumption. So I had to sharpen my ears to learn how to listen. Listen properly, not talk only because I can. And I realized that sometimes listening, you become a greater witness, because when you speak, you already know what to say. Amen? So if you could please stand with me as I'm going to pray for you. And we will be praying for healing, and we will be praying for that. But the Lord tells us this to finish. Our greatest teacher has always been Jesus Christ. And Jesus always listened. He asked a question and listened. He asked a question and brought to, and he listened to the need of the people. 1 Corinthians 13:1-3 tells us, though I speak with the tongues of man and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not loved, it profits me nothing. When you look at it, when you become a witness, listening is the greatest act of love that you could give somebody that's in need for Jesus. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, I'll present to you, Lord, our ears before the altar. Lord, among this world that is full of noise, a world, Lord, that wants to amplify everything except of your word and the silence of your spirit, I pray, my Lord, that we surrender our ears to be your witness. That you would teach us how to listen, how to be a witness to those that need of you. That you'll present opportunities, not always to talk first, but to listen. So that we could bring forth your word and what it is needed. I pray, my Lord, that you will unclog our ears and anoint it. That as we hear the needs of others, we'll always share your truth and give a word of wisdom, of knowledge, of healing. A word of encouragement, of strength. Above all, that our witness of listening will do it in love. That when the person in need, that's broken, that's lost, that's damaged, is talking to us, they could feel that Jesus is listening to them. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be a witness for your kingdom. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. Yeah, I was thinking of three scriptures as...